We're starting a new series. We're starting a new series on the book of Acts. Who enjoyed the book of Ephesians last year? For those of you who were in church last year, a few of you enjoyed that. So the idea of doing a book like we did Ephesians and now the book of Acts is actually to go quite a little bit deeper. Who knows that Pentecostals can be deep? I'll just put it out there that we are known around the Christian movement as sort of not being a little bit shallow, but not at C3 Fremantle. All right? In fact, it's actually probably not true these days anyway. So we're going to do some more exegetical preaching, which means we're really getting into the content of the Bible, of the Word of God. And we're talking about making room for God this year. Making room for him in our lives. Who's glad that we just had that moment then of just making a little bit of room so that we can experience the love of God in our life? So that's part of who we want to be. We want to have that opportunity in our lives for him to be real to us. It's a very important thing. And the book of Acts is all about that. And the reason we picked the book of Acts is that new things are happening in our church. We have, who's been to Wellard campus? Just give me a wave. Who's been? Even once. So that's about 50% of you. So we have a new campus, which has been going a year now, down in the Wellard community, and I know some of you live down that area. And so that's one of the things that's new. We've also have our Port Community Lunch, which is fairly new, right? Which is going gangbusters, going so well with Pastor Charlie. Let's give his team a hand for all that they do. Now, Finda was in church a minute ago. Has she gone to be with the kids' church? Looks like she has because she's vanished. And I was thinking of Finda because I've been getting all these this whole weekend, actually last week as well. We have a conference going on in C3 Liberia that is a new thing. And it's from our church. We sponsored. In fact, I've got friends in C3 Accra in Ghana, and two of those guys are big keynote speakers for the conference. And Pastor Commander, I'm not sure which one it is, but let's just call him Commander because it sounds really, really more, you know, better. And he's African after all. And he said he was saying how much he enjoyed the conference. And guess what he got to do yesterday with Pastor Andy from C3 Accra? They drove around to all the churches in C3 in Liberia. Yeah. And that is such a big thing for these guys. And so I've heard he's not a young man, Pastor Commander, but that's okay. You know, it's great to have these guys joining in and wanting to become part of a greater family. Who knows that people need something bigger than themselves to be all they can be? So isn't that exciting? And this is the whole book of Acts. It's bigger than we are. Is God bigger than you? And so this is a really important thing. So this morning we're going to start probably logically, which is a good thing, from verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to read a passage of Scripture this morning, and this is how we're going to start each week. And we're going to do this from Acts 1 and verse 1. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, everyone say with me, Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive, his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Therefore, who knows that when there's a therefore, you've got to go back to the rest of the passage. So what he's now just been saying, when they had come together, they asked him saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? Interesting point. And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power. Does anyone need a little bit more power for their life today? You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. He also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will soon come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Anyone happy about this kind of scripture this morning? So good, isn't it? We get to be with our Lord and Saviour forever. Forever. So let me try and explain this a little bit. The former account I made, O Theophilus, verse 1, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. Luke is referring to the life of Jesus from his own Gospel of Luke that he wrote. And so it talks about everything that Jesus' life is about. God the Father sends the eternal Son. All this has been prophesied before throughout the Old Testament. You said, God the Father is going to go to the cross. God the Father is coming back for you and for I. And so Dr. Luke is saying to Theophilus, who is himself a sophisticated person, who is likely even to be very close to the emperor of the day, and it's looking likely that he's definitely a cultured Roman man, probably not a Christian. And Luke, Dr. Luke, the Christian, is saying to him as a learned man, I am going to prove to you through this book that Christianity is true. Does anyone really believe that Christianity is true today? Now, if I asked you why, we'd all have our various reasons. So let's just look at the biblical perspective this morning, because I want to talk about out there in the world, out there, up there, and in here. Three things. Out there, up there. We did a bit of that today. And in here. So let's look at out there. Because when you know the truth will set you free. And so many scholars believe that in the time of Acts, people were into the supernatural. And that they were into the kind of this cosmic, you know, rather extraordinary world. And they were superstitious. And as such, not so much credibility was given to science to explain things. Now, that's what many scholars believe. But when you look at how the people acted at this time, this does not seem to be the case at all. So when they saw him, Matthew 28, 17, when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Everyone say, some doubted. See, Jesus has been resurrected, but before he goes to be the right hand of the Father, for 40 days, Jesus shows himself to the disciples and those close to him. And some could not believe it was Jesus. He died. How can this be Jesus? He's not with us anymore. And the truth is that Jesus had to continually prove that it was him to them, even the disciples. And why is this so? Every time Jesus showed up, they couldn't believe their eyes. It didn't matter that he showed them his holes in his hands. It didn't matter that he sat and ate with them and walked with them and talked with them. No matter how often he said, I'm no phantom, I'm real, guys. They didn't quite get it. And Jesus had to constantly prove that he was real. So if people were actually more gullible and superstitious, then why did he constantly have to prove himself? The answer is that they did not believe so much in the resurrection. And I want to give you the reasons why. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there are brought to life miracles done by Jesus. If we just take Jairus' daughter, Jesus took the girl by the hand and she rose to her feet. Here's a girl that's died and she rose to her feet again. If we were to take the widow's son in Luke 7, Jesus touches the coffin of a dead. Here's this dead boy and he's in the coffin. The last thing you did in these times was go and touch the coffin. You just didn't do that. And he touches the coffin, and as he does, the boy gets up out of the coffin, because they used to have open caskets when they were walking, and immediately, of course, the pallbearers, what do you think they did? What would you do? You'd drop the coffin, right? So they drop the coffin, and the boy goes, oh, I don't know what happened there, but hey, it's great to be back here. You know, this is incredible what is happening. And what about the one of the greatest one for me anyway? Lazarus has been dead for a very long time. Who believes they could resurrect someone who's been dead for 4 days? You know, and we can under the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us we can. We can do the same miracles or even greater miracles. So it's the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives that does make all the difference in this world and to the world to come. It does, absolutely. And we know this because we've experienced the power of God. It's also true, by the way, when I was looking up some of the great scholars and a lot of these guys, because of their intellect, they're evangelical, don't really experience the power of the Holy Spirit like we would through speaking in tongues and that whole area, which we're going to talk about more in the coming weeks. But they all say, without a shadow of a doubt, that you can't deny the power of the Holy Spirit. No one disagrees with that. And let's get along with one another, because one other thing is that the Holy Spirit brings incredible unity. And one other thing, if in case you're just not sure, is that those Pentecostal churches, those that really experience the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives, they are the most multicultural in the whole world. Come on, let's give ourselves a hand for that at least. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in C3. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So Lazarus comes out. He's been dead for 4 days. His grave clothes are still wrapped around him, but he's very much alive. And when Jesus was talking with Martha, before he raised to life Lazarus, he said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. And Martha responded, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. She did not mention anything about the resurrection. Interesting, hey? All these people came back into their bodies. All these people will still suffer like you and I through our life with pains and ailments, and eventually we're going to die. But Jesus, they didn't recognize him at first. He walks through locked doors, yet he eats with them and talks with them. Why? This is a body that is not subject to death anymore. This is a body that is not subject to anymore. And what Jesus was actually showing the people, which you won't read in any of the commentaries, is that this is the kind of body that we have as well. It's a body that is not, yes, it will die, but we will be with him forever. We will be little Jesuses walking around in heaven with him. With the sun. We can walk through locked doors. You can't do that now. Try it. Do you get what I'm saying this morning? You see, the Greeks and the Romans did not believe in the resurrection at all. Go back into history. We're talking about in that time. They believed the body was bad. Some of you probably think your bodies are bad right now, right? You know, or we could be better. And they believed that the spirit was good. The idea of a resurrected body made no sense to them whatsoever. And some Jews believe that at the end of time, at the end of history, God is going to review everything and make it good again so we would all get new bodies and be resurrected. But nobody believed that one individual could get this resurrected body now and walk around whilst everyone else in the world was dying. Nobody believed it could happen, not Jew, not Greek, not Roman, nobody. And they were prone to think that it was impossible. It's why every time he showed up, he had to prove it over and over again that it was really him. It's me, guys. It really is. It's why even these close to him like Martha struggled with the words he was using. They didn't connect that it was going to happen now. Who believes that God can change the world for you right now? And this is what Jesus is trying to get through. If we don't overanalyze it, God can do incredible things right here, right now. And they were prone to think it was impossible. And in the book of Acts, Jews and Gentiles alike did not simply base their belief in him subjectively. They did not make room for him based on feelings, tastes, and opinions alone. These early Christians did not believe because they wanted to believe. They did not believe because it was an inspiring story. They believed because the evidence was so overwhelming, they were forced to believe it. Despite all their biases, they were forced to believe it. And Dr. Luke, the great doctor, is being very particular on how he writes this account. They came to believe it was historic, objective fact. In other words, it wasn't influenced alone by feelings and opinions. And Christianity is not about getting help for your life. It will, but hear me out. It's not about consumer product, good to try. Don't ask whether it's relevant and fulfilling. Ask whether it is true. If it is true, it will be relevant. If it is true, it will be practical. If it is true, it will help you in life. If it is true, it will be something that you want. And if it's not true, it won't be. So what if you could be sure that as bad as things are in this world, it will be put right? That's a good question. You can be sure that no matter what you see around you, one day it will be put right. Who'd like to see a bit more right on the other side of the world right now? It will be put right. What about this one? On the other side of death, there isn't just darkness, but life. On the other side of death, there is the everlasting love of God. What about if you could be totally sure that at the loss of a loved one, that the love of God was out there, it's real. It's going to help that person. And what if you could be sure that nothing terrifies you whatsoever? Who'd like a bit more of that? See, I was out surfing with an old friend of mine the other day. And we're about the same age and the waves weren't so good. And so we're paddling around and we just sat there waiting for the next set to come in, which wasn't really worth catching, so we were talking. And we got talking about the 16-year-old girl that unfortunately lost her life to, we think, a white pointer down in Esperance at Weed Beds, and we'd both surfed there, and so we were chatting about that. And he said to me, "What are you going to do all day, Nige? Are you going to sit on the couch, get fat, and wait to have a heart attack and die?" And I said to him, "Absolutely not. I'd rather take my chances." And he goes, "So would I." And some of you are thinking, you're nuts, I know. But then he goes, we're going to die anyway. And he paddled off. And I actually said to him, but I know where I'm going. He's an interesting character. I'm working on him slowly through my life. I've never seen such a fit man that drinks so much vodka. Incredible. Anyway, that's another story. You see, we are here through the power of the Holy Spirit to change someone else's life. Are we not? You shall receive power. What for? To just show how good you are to the world? I am the Apostle Nigel. I have to... Forget that. Come on. Don't come to Christianity because you think it will fulfill you, but because it's true. You see, if the truth is going to set you free, then you need to know the truth. And so it's up there. Everyone go up there. Up there, we know what we're talking about. All right, verse 2. Until the day he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. Jesus is not raised. Say this with me. Jesus is not raised. He is ascended. Jesus is not raised. He is ascended. Verse 6, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? The kingdom of God means the ruling power of God comes back into the world to put things right. Who'd like more of the ruling power of God for their life? Okay, so, but the disciples are thinking that the Romans are going to be thrown out and actually that Israel will become militarily strong again. And the people are thinking of a political arrangement. They are thinking of it happening now. That's all they thought the kingdom of God was. And Jesus looks at them and says, you guys are just slow learners. Well, he didn't, but I think his patience was probably running out by this stage. And truthfully, he gives them the answer in verse 8. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and throughout the whole world. And so the kingdom of God has come in Jesus Christ. It's here. It is here spiritually. You will be my witnesses or my kingdom people. You will do amazing things through the power of the Holy Spirit in you, just as I have. But the kingdom is not fully come, fully complete, until the end of time. And now look at this in verse 9. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. Three ways, briefly, the ascension means everything to you and to I. The ascension means that we have relational intimacy. If we go back to the empty tomb, Mary Magdalene is beside herself. Actually, it'd be good to have two helpers. Who's a husband and wife here that would like to help me out this morning? Just quickly come forward. I need your help. I need a man and a woman, preferably. All right. Emma and Richard, let's give them a hand. So you're Mary Magdalene and you're Jesus. A good one too, all right? Okay, so you're looking in the tomb. Go and look in the tomb. Come on, Em. You're looking in the tomb. Where's he gone? Where's he gone? You're calling out. She's calling out. Where is he? And Jesus says, whatever you like. Here I am. No, you're the gardener, you say. You say, no, that's the gardener. She doesn't recognize. And then Jesus says, it's me. It's me. Say it with more passion. It's me. It's me. And Mary Magdalene clings, realizing, and clings to Jesus. Clings. Don't let go. You're clinging. Clinging people don't let go. They hold on, right? And they're holding on. Hold on. They're clinging to one another. And she won't let go. And Jesus says, I can do this bit for you. He's got to. You've got to let me go, because if you don't let me go, if you keep clinging to me, if you keep not letting me go, then I'm going to be with you for the rest of your life, and the Holy Spirit's not going to come, and you're not going to know the relational intimacy that I have for you. Thanks, guys. The ascension means I will always be with you. Let me ascend so I can come into your heart. You'll never lose me. Second, the ascension means God had historic strategy. In Ephesians 1:22, he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things. In Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God. He is now in control of everything. Is anyone glad they're not in control? God's even in control of all the bad things that are happening. Now, this is an interesting thing. See, God did not originally design the world with death and violence, suffering, and the Bible said this is because of our turning away. And so Jesus is now controlling everything. He's over all things. He can rule over the bad things as well. And he's even using evil against itself to defeat it. And the world had a destruction plan for Jesus. And the cross is now the model in which Jesus is running the world. He is going to bring about a greater good, even though at times we may not see it. Mary Magdalene, she did not see it. How many times are we in a situation and we cannot see how it's ever going to resolve itself? And then God miraculously does something and you're totally set free from that thing. Incredible, right? So when we keep our faith and trust in God through the power of the Holy Spirit operating in our lives, we know that it's going to come good eventually. Keep on doing what you need to do in respect to loving the Lord Jesus. And in fact, if you want to make it simple, read your Bible and love Jesus. See, Jesus Christ is running the universe. The ascension proves it. The ascension means incredible intimacy, historic strategy, and lastly, he is in here. He is where? He's in here. Let's put our hands on he's in there. He's really real. He's in me. Okay, thanks, guys. See, the legal term is, and what many of the historians and scholars would say is, it's called transforming advocacy. He has the greatest legal support in the universe for you. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ goes to the right hand of the Father. He's our intercessor. He becomes our lawyer. He's like in the courtroom of God. He's on our side. When I was young, before I was married, I would do my best to impress the girls. Amber, close your ears. If I liked an intelligent girl, I'd come up with intelligent sayings and I'd memorize them and then tell them to her. If they were more interested in my amazing physique, which I had back in the old days, I would pose for them. Back in those, let's not go into too many details about that. But isn't it true that we all want validity from somebody else? Jesus validates you. Is anyone glad he's in the courtroom and not someone else? We all like good verdicts. Jesus gives us the good verdict, the best verdict. We all like to appreciate it. That's why we're always trying to impress somebody else. We all love to be accepted. It's like when Jesus was baptized and the Father said, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you are loved. He's saying it to you and I at the same time, because we have also received the power of God. The moment we accept Jesus as Lord of our life, he says, you're accepted, you're loved, and I am well pleased with you. We're all desperate to know we're okay. And deep down, we know something is wrong with us. And unless you understand the ascension, Jesus Christ is our advocate. He's our Savior. Nothing else, no one else can bring the deep longing for relationship to us but Jesus Christ. Your kids won't do it. You can't live out your life through your children. You can't even live out your life through your husband, your spouse. It's not possible, because Jesus Christ is the answer to the world. Jesus is the answer for you and for me. Hebrews 7:26, as we close this morning, for such a high priest was fitting for us. He is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens. In verse 5, Jesus says the Holy Spirit is coming. And the Holy Spirit is coming into your life to make the things that I am telling you true. Can we stand to our feet today? Just take these couple of minutes we have remaining. My God. I want to ask a question. Can we just bow our heads for a moment? You see, He alone will give you relational intimacy. He alone is going to give you historic strategy and confidence, knowing that He has all things under His control. And He alone is a good lawyer, an advocate that is for us, who loves us and gives us a sense of self-worth. And so as we're standing here with our heads bowed and our eyes closed just in this moment, you don't have to burn out. You don't have to be so driven. You don't have to be identified by how much money you do or don't make. You don't have to be a certain dress size. You don't have to be so touchy because someone slighted you. You just have to be you. God accepts you as who you are. And I thank you, Lord, for the ascension. Why don't we raise our hands if you're comfortable with that? I thank you, Lord, for the ascension. And I know that you are real. In Jesus' name, I receive of your life today. I receive of your goodness into my heart. I receive of your love and power. I thank you, God, that you're all I need. Thank you for sending Jesus Christ to die for me, be ascended, so that I may have the Holy Spirit, you with me, always, 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 always. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. I want to sing that third song, the third song we did today. Let's finish on a high. If you'd like prayer today.